So before I get into my message, I was looking at Joshua chapter, the end of chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 16 and 17, and I just, I think this is a great verse to open with tonight. And it says, they answered Joshua, this is the Israelites, everything you commanded us we'll do. Wherever you send us, we'll go. We obeyed Moses to the letter, we'll also obey you. So Father, thank you tonight that we can be here in your presence. We can learn of your word. Your word is so important. We can learn history when we look at the Old Testament and the New Testament. We can learn where you spoke to people and they listened and obeyed. And when you spoke to people and they did not listen, and what the consequences were because of their disobedience. So tonight, Lord, as we reflect on one of the women in the Bible named Rahab, I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would be almost encaptured and taken back as we read from the scripture, as we look at pictures, and we think of what it would have been like to have been a part of that day and age. Father, I just pray it will enlighten us, it will give us hope, it will give us peace to go through our week this week, whether we are working, whether we are having fun on a spring break, or whether, Lord Jesus, we're just in our daily routine. Remind us, Lord, that we are to follow you, just as these people said, everything you commanded us we'll do, and wherever you send us, we'll go, and we will obey you to the letter. So thank you, Father, that you have put men and women in the Bible that we can look up to, and we can say, yes, I'm going to strive to do my very best, just as they did. No matter it was thousands of years ago or just yesterday, thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in each of our lives. May we obey you and may we trust you more and more. And in Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen. I was at the preteen conference and the pastor would pray before he would speak, and he would always say, and some of us said, and I thought that was very interesting. Only some of us, but I hope all of us tonight say amen. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I have a little device tonight we're going to try, and if it doesn't work, well, we'll just go with the flow, right? And it's a little pointer, and it's going to help me turn to some of my different slides. So I'm praying that it works tonight, but you never know with technology when you try things new, right, what will happen. Okay. Well, we're going to be talking about Rahab. So what had happened is I was supposed to speak one Sunday night, and we had a crazy snowstorm when we were talking about women in the Bible. And this was in the series that Pastor Les had done. And he had asked me to speak on Rahab. And then the snow came down and we all said, yeah, we're not venturing out in that. So he said, you know what, let's save that and put it now to tonight. So that's why we took a little break from Chaos of the Cults and we're talking tonight about Rahab. So just in case you were wondering, well, I came to hear about the cults. Well, just save that. And when Pastor Les gets back, he'll get back into that. He said that you are all enjoying learning about different religions, which is very interesting because there's a lot of people in our world, isn't there, that we have to talk to. And if we aren't a little bit knowledgeable what to say to them or how to speak to them, it can put us in a little bit of conundrum, can it? But to know what we believe and why we believe it is the best thing. So let's get right into the scripture. If you can turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading quite a bit of Joshua chapter 2. Actually, it will be the whole chapter. But I thought it would be good. Yes, I am a children's pastor at heart, so I found some pictures that we're going to show. So, Landon, you're going to enjoy it tonight. We're going to fly through some pictures as we look at the scriptures as well. So Joshua 2, verses 1 to 24. Now, this is the Old Testament, and it's the sixth book of the Bible. So after the Pentateuch comes Joshua. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Okay. So here in the story, we find that the Israelite leader Moses has just died. So when I read to you just a few minutes ago about the Israelites saying, everything you commanded us, you commanded Moses to do, we're going to follow you. So that was taken just before this chapter that we're studying was said. And so Moses dies and Joshua is just taken over. He is the successor. And the Israelites have the Egyptians and slavery now behind them. So they are happy. And with Joshua being in charge of the Israelite, they are excited as to what's going to happen next. So in this day, the city of Jericho was very important. It is a Canaanite fortress city in the Jordan Valley. And this was a stronghold directly in the path of the advancing Israelites. So God was having them go this certain way, and all of a sudden Jericho's there, okay? And they say, God says, we need to get that city. So that's why they need to get past this city. It's en route of where God wants them to go. Yay, it works. Okay. So I'm going to read the story, and you can follow along in the scriptures as we watch the screen as the story unfolds. So Joshua chapter 2. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Can you say two? All right. So he sent two spies. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So you can see on the map whereabouts it is. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed with her. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, bring up the men who came to you and entered your house. Because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. So she says, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. Now, we're just going to pause there. Flax. Interesting how much in the day and age that we have now, a lot of people will make smoothies. Maybe you've seen like Booster Juice or I can't think of some of the other names of the stores where they blend different things up. And, you know, I prefer more of the, like, the fruity kinds of things. When you start adding the green stuff and the, like, the kale, it starts to not get as interesting to me. But one of the things where I'm going with this is flax. It's known, like, or it's out there right now that they're saying that flax seed is very good for you. Right? And it's interesting, you know, my mom used to, when we first heard about this, she would put little flaxseed in the dog's food. And I'm like, why? You know, and she would say, oh, it makes his coat very shiny. Well, I know that we don't do it to have a coat that's shiny, but it's to help us in our bodies and to function better, right? Side note. So the stalks of flax would have been up to a yard long, and an inch in diameter. So, Ron, you're going to help me here. So, well, maybe I'll do it this way. About a yard and about an inch. Okay. Yeah, I struggle with, I was brought up more in the metric, but it was kind of the other, imperial was kind of on the way out. So I know a little bit sometimes, but sometimes when somebody says, oh, it's 5 3/8, and I go, how could you just give me a sample, or what do you mean by that? Right, so anyways, that's why I said. Another side note. Okay, so the stalks were up to a yard long and an inch in diameter. And one commentator says that a few bundles carefully placed would no doubt have been adequate to conceal the men. So this is what's on top of the roofs up on Rahab's house. Okay? So the men set out in pursuit of the spies, verse 7, on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know, listen to some of these words specifically that are spoken. I know that the Lord has given you this land. I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us. And that a great fear has fallen on us. So that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. They're melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of the Egypt. And what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. Verse 11. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear. And everyone's courage failed because of you. Our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God. Amen? For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Verse 11, we're going to come back to. Verse 12, now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. I think I missed this slide, sorry. Okay. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. And this is interesting. She said, hide yourselves there 3 days. Say three. Oh, come on, you guys. Help me out here. 3 days. Okay. So she said, hide yourself there for 3 days until they return and then go on your way. Now the men had said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land... There's faith. When we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet or red cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all in your family into your house. Interesting. If any of them go outside of your house into the street, well, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell them what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." What a great story. If we recap the story of what happened, we see that Joshua sent how many spies? Two spies. He wants to have them scout out Jericho so that they can conquer this massive fortified city. Like, it's brick walls all around. So the spies arrive in Jericho, and somehow Rahab caught wind that the people of God were coming. She somehow knew that salvation was on its way. She was a harlot. She was a prostitute. How could God use her? She decided to help the spies and protect them from the king of Jericho. We see this in verse 2 to 7. And then hides them under the flax on her roof. Such a simple step for her to take to hide them. And she hears as word gets out that the people of Jericho are scared. Verse 11, remember we said we come back to it? "When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage had failed because of you," because of those spies. She put her faith in God. And because she did, this would be a new beginning for her and her family. Back in verse 11, the last part of it, it says, "For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." Not thinking she's a prostitute now. And she says, "Remember me." Interesting. We look when Jesus is on the cross and we look in the scriptures. He has someone on the left and on the right. And one of them says, "Remember me." Important words when they're written in scripture to pinpoint or to highlight in your Bible, because it means something a little bit more than just to glance over. So when you're reading, take your time to read each verse and or each word in the verses, because sometimes it can give you a more of a broader perspective about what's being said. They agree to save her and her family, and she shows faith. So Rahab asks, she says, and she tells the spy this, what is required of her. And they said, number one, don't tell anyone. Number two, tie the scarlet cord and drape it from the window so we know where your house is. And be in the house, but make sure you're in the house with all your family. Side note, what would it be like for you if you had all your family in your house? Because you don't know when these guys are coming. And I was thinking, that means all my family's got to sleep there. All my family, we got to cook for them. And cleaning, and what if you want to take a shower? Like, can you get the hot water anymore, right? It's a lot of people. Because if you remember in the verse it said, your immediate family, so maybe that's four or five people, or maybe it's two, and then your brothers and sisters, and then all their family. So your small little home all of a sudden becomes quite a small home with a lot of people in it. She redirects the spies to the hills, and the spies had to do their part, obviously, and not get caught, and then leave after being in the hills for 3 days to go back to Joshua and the Israelites and tell them what's happened. Of course, and she lowered them from the window. What's the history on Rahab? The history is that she was born, it says, circa 1400 BC. quite a while ago. It's clear in this story that Rahab was perceptive. She was very intelligent and well-informed. She knew what was happening around because obviously she knew that people were starting to talk if she's talking about them melting in fear. She identified the spies for who they were. She hid them. She had a plausible story ready to deceive the king's army. That's a lot of faith she must have mustered to be able to say, the king's army's here, what am I going to say? I've got people on my roof. They're against the king's army. She didn't lie that she had them in her home. She sort of redirected the truth. She told them that they had already run off, leaving the army to quickly run after them in the direction that she pointed, and they didn't want the spies to get away. And then she tells the spies where to hide before attempting to get away themselves. Rahab was an unlikely woman of influence. Ladies, are you an unlikely woman of influence? Maybe you feel that way sometimes. But let me tell you, you are a woman of influence. Men, you are a man of influence. People are listening. People are watching. Rahab was a prostitute. She was a harlot, yet she advanced the kingdom of God. She was a citizen of a wicked city that was under God's condemnation. She was a part of a corrupt pagan culture. However, she heard from the many men that she came into contact with that the Israelites were to be feared. And she heard the amazing stories of escape from Egypt to the crossing of the Red Sea, and then their recent victory over the Amorites. It was here that she decided to offer them refuge. Verse 11. Key in the whole story. She believed that God was who he said he was, and that these men were under his authority. If we go back to what we read in chapter 1, the Israelites said to Joshua, "Everything you command us, we'll do. Wherever you send us, we'll go. We will obey you." Interesting. She's saying the same thing. She's saying, I believe who God is. He's the God of heaven. He's the God of earth. And I believe that you are men that are going to be used by God. So I want to follow after you. She was saved because of her faith. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." And because of her action that she demonstrated, the spies, her family, and herself were saved. She also was able to turn away from her culture, her people, and her religion. And she turned to the Lord. She was now committed. When Israel crossed the Jordan and marched around Jericho, Rahab was spared from the destruction of the city. We look to Joshua chapter 6. And here it talks about the spies that Rahab helped previously were given charge of finding her and her family. How many spies? 2 spies. They found Rahab, her parents, her brothers, her sisters, and all the rest of the family. That's what it means, and all she possessed. They were able to fulfill the promise to rescue them. Her family lived in Israel from then on. Because of her faith in God, she is mentioned several times later in the Bible, and she became an ancestor to King David and to Jesus Christ because of her faith. Man, You know, we talked this morning about as far as the east is from the west. Now, I don't know if I'm doing it the right way or if it's this way, then this way, but far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions. He's taken away our sins from us. She was a prostitute, but now she had been forgiven. That's praiseworthy. That's noteworthy. And she believed, she put faith in God before she could even see the outcome. Susan Warren's memorial service was yesterday. I know some of you were able to attend. And it was interesting, over and over, the different either members of her family, friends, the pastor who spoke, they all were saying what a woman of faith she was. And if you knew her at all, she was. She would talk about, well, I got this, I got some bad news from the doctor. And she'd say, but praise the Lord, I'm keeping going, right? She would always have faith to believe that my God can do all things. She said at one time in, we were told that in the doctor's office, I believe it was an oncologist had said to her, well, yeah, Susan, it's not looking good. It's come back. She goes, that's okay. My God can heal me. She had faith. A funny story. Apparently, she had bought her wedding dress even before Michael, her husband, had proposed. They were just had just started dating, and she went out and bought her wedding dress. I thought that was kind of funny. That's a woman of faith. Matthew 1:1-6. The genealogy of Jesus the Messiah. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon. Verse 5. Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. So think about Ruth and Boaz. The mother of Boaz was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. She's in the genealogy. She's in the lineage of Christ. And therefore, she is our sister. She is our family. She's a direct descendant of Jesus. And then we look at Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. If we look at 11:1, you think, what is faith? We'll go to Hebrews chapter 11. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and the assurance about what we do not see. If we stop right there, Rahab had faith to believe, confidence in what she hoped for, and she saw it. She believed in who God was. She made the stand and said, yeah, I'm going for that. This is what the ancients were commended for. And then if we go to verse 30 and 31. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. Do you remember? They had to march around the walls each day, and they had to blow their trumpets. And then the last day, the seventh day, they did it seven times. And the seventh time, they blasted their trumpets and shouted. And what happened? The walls came tumbling down. That was by faith. The walls fell. And by faith, verse 31, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Then we look at another time where she's mentioned in Scripture, in James. James chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Verse 25, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? She was no longer viewed as an unclean prostitute. She was no longer known for what she had done in the past. But she was one who was worthy, by grace, to be part of God's family. And it's all because of God's amazing grace. She believed, and she saw it happen. She had faith to say, yes, God, I've done a lot of bad things, but I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to turn from my wicked culture, my pagan culture, and I'm going to serve you. And if taking these men in will help make your plans prosper, then so be it. And the Israelites, when the walls came down, what happened? They had her come in, and she stayed with them, and she had a home among the people of God. And God honored that. She was in the Bible several times. See, she was an important woman of God. She was a woman of, what should we say here? She was a woman of influence. And that's for you too. Man, woman, child, adult, senior. We need to be people of influence. And that's what Rahab was. Let's pray. Jesus, you are so good. You are so good. Father God, I thank you that you can take us from the deepest, darkest place and bring us into your light. Whether it's a small thing or a big thing, you can deal with it. We're so grateful for that, Lord. We thank you that we can look at your word in Scripture and we can read about the stories about the people in the Bible, but we can also dig deeper and we can find out stories of grace, stories of acceptance, of righteousness, stories of saving. And this is one of them. Lord, I pray that wherever you have us go this week, may we be people of great influence. May you use us. And may we follow hard after you so that we can say, in everything we do, we will follow God. We will follow Jesus. We will follow what the Holy Spirit speaks deeply into our heart, and we will do it. We will choose, and we will obey, and we will do it right away. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this gift that you've given, the Bible, to us. May we be humble as we read it, and may we continually look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you for this week. We pray that whatever we face, Lord, we would know that by your peace, that we can just have that peace in our hearts. As we move forward, thank you for the food that we're going to consume and enjoy each other's fellowship in the next few minutes. And we pray that, Lord, you'd bring us back safely to church next week. In Jesus' name, we prayed all these things. And everybody said, amen. Amen.